Welcome to Active Word with Bishop Ishmael Sam of the Loyalty House International, a denomination originating from United Denomination of Lighthouse Group of Churches, UDOLGC. Called of God, he ministers under the anointing of his father, Bishop Dagwood Mills. Bishop Sam is the resident pastor of the Abbey Branch in Dawenia, off the Dawenia-Afienya Link Road. He oversees many churches both in Ghana and abroad. May the power of God be activated in your life today as you listen to Active Word.
Welcome to Active Word, where the word is alive.
Hallelujah! Give the Lord a bigger shout! Amen. Mark chapter 16 talks about the resurrection. And this morning, Lady Reverend Foruwa touched on it. But there's an aspect of Mark chapter 16 that strikes me. And it is the verse 15. Jesus said, "Go ye into the world and preach to every creature," isn't it? That is the biggest commission. And I'm here to tell you, that's the greatest commission. And the greatest commission has given birth to the greatest ever miracle. So this morning we are going to hear the greatest ever testimony. If you are happy about it, put your hands together for Jesus. So let's put our hands together and welcome Pastor Natrin as he shares the great... Oh, encourage him. Encourage him. Oh, keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping. Hallelujah. So you introduce yourself and you share your testimony.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
My name is Pastor Natrin.
Okay.
The pastor of Loyalty House, Dawenia, Tarazo Branch. Hallelujah.
Hey.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, the song touched my heart. And I feel like crying. Amen.
Cry, yes.
Because where I'm coming from is far. Amen.
Hmm.
The year 2000, that was the millennium.
Hmm.
Some friends of mine said, "Charlie, we've heard of Lighthouse Chapel.
Hey.
So let's go and get some girls."
Hey, what did you say?
Some girls.
Someone say, "Ee."
Yeah.
Hey, do you believe that there are beautiful girls in the church?
Yeah.
Do you believe that there are beautiful girls in this church? And do you believe that you are one of them? Then shout, "Ee!" Okay.
The reason why I'm saying that is because we have a place that we used to sit.
Okay.
And every year, we sit there and do calculation of the number of girls we slept with. So, I don't want to go deep. So, that was the 31st night.
Okay.
We came to Lighthouse Chapel. And then when we closed, we went back home with no girl. So I didn't come to the church again until 2004.
Hey, 4 years after.
4 years after, wow. When a friend of mine, even a neighbor, my next door neighbor, also told me, "Tali, let's go to church.
This time to look for the beautiful girl.
To look for another girl.
Another year will do."
So this time, I purposed my heart that I'm going to get a girl.
Mm.
Hallelujah. And when I got there, Bishop was preaching a message.
Bishop Sam?
Bishop Sam was then called Reverend Sam.
Okay.
Was preaching a message of greater love.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he descended down and he asked us questions.
Mm.
That what can we stand on? Or what scripture can we base our salvation on?
He's a pastor, in fact, so he's moving around.
So he came around, he asked many people, we even forgot John 3:16.
Hmm.
And he, including myself. So when he finished preaching,
you said what was the question he asked?
He asked, what is the basis of our salvation?
Mm.
And he asked questions and people did not even know what to say.
Mm. And you mentioned to me that one of the things he said was that, where will you go when
yes,
you die?
Yes, after the preaching, he asked us a question. That when Jesus comes right now and asks you, or when he comes, where will your soul be?
Hey.
Where will you be?
Mm.
Will you find yourself in heaven or in hell?
By the time you leave here, you should be able to answer this question. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Before you leave here, and I believe that you'll be given an opportunity. That is why Jesus came to die, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
So, after the question, he made an altar call.
Mm.
And he said, if you want to give your life to Jesus, lift up your right hand and come in front. So, I didn't lift up my hand, but I lifted both hands.
Hey.
And I was crying. I remember
church,
that day like today.
Put your hands together.
I was crying. I was crying. And it touched my heart to the extent that I could not do anything, but lifted up my hands and cried and came in front.
Wow.
And he said, we should say this after him. And we said it. I meant it in my heart. But later on, when I went back, my friends, I changed a little.
Hey.
Say, I changed a little.
I changed a little.
And my friends told me, oh, Charlie, this, we remember 31st, we did the same thing. It didn't work. So I'm giving you 2 months, 3 months, you come back. And then 3 months, 2 months, I went back.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But when I was in church, I danced a lot. So one day, some friends of mine, or I'll say shepherds, called me that, Nitrin, where are you? And I told them, I'm at work. I said, oh, that we came for visitation and wanted to say hi to you. And I said, oh, because I was back then doing bad things again, I told them I'm not coming now.
Okay.
So they said they are leaving.
But
so
before they came, you told me that Bishop realized that you were not coming to church because you come and then you dance.
Yes.
You must be noticed for something you do in church, isn't it?
Hallelujah.
You have to join a ministry or something. So when Bishop realized that you were not coming, then he sent them.
I didn't know by then.
Okay.
But when they told me they came for a visit, I was at where I've closed.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that they are coming to tell me to come to
come
church.
To church.
So I told them I'm not around. So I waited for 2 hours. And I got home. And I intentionally called them. Oh, I just got home right now. And they said, oh, we too, we are just behind your house.
Hey! Oh, put your hands together for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
They were waiting 2 hours.
2 hours. I waited. Not knowing, I didn't know that they came purposely for me.
Oh.
So after having conversation with them, they said it was because of you that we came here. And we wanted to give Bishop a message that when we came, we saw you
saw
and we spoke
you.
To you.
Oh, thank God for
Hallelujah.
Such a pastor. And thank God for shepherds who are ready to help the pastor, isn't it? God
Hallelujah.
Bless. Amen.
And to cut everything short, I didn't get a girl,
hey.
But I got a wife.
Oh, 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 oh. You got one of the beautiful women, isn't it? Oh.
And I have 2 sons.
Oh, what a blessing.
And I'm waiting for a girl.
Hey.
So, Daddy.
And you are a pastor.
I'm a pastor.
Hey. You came searching for
I
a
remember
girl.
I used to supply weed to some. I don't want to mention it.
Are you sure it's the same?
I used to supply weed to this pastor.
Yay!
We call it Pastor Edwin.
Hey! This is Reverend Edwin.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you know Pastor Nation?
Oh.
Hallelujah. Believe what he's saying. And I believe that we have anointed servant of God.
Hallelujah.
Who is Bishop Sam?
Oh, clap your
hands. My life has been changed because of the same man. He used to supply me. Peters. Upon Peters. Upon Peters. Upon Peters.
For waste. For waste.
Hey. He has been my very good friend from infancy.
Wow.
And whatever he's saying is true.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Reverend Edwin
and
Pastor Natrin. Hey, oh church, let's appreciate the Lord. Oh, you cannot be sitting down. You can't be sitting down. You can't be sitting down. Give the Lord a shout.
Amen. We have a wonderful Father. Encourage every one of us. He's a father, he's a pastor, he's a good shepherd. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I thank God for his life.
God bless you.
Oh, God bless you, Bishop.
God bless you. Let's clap for the Lord for such a powerful testimony. Hey. He came on a mission to find a girl. But the Lord had a better agenda for him, isn't it? You may be here with your own agenda, but God has a better agenda for you. And as you remain here, the plan of God will come to pass in your life. Oh, church, let's appreciate God. Hey, I'm so touched. I am so touched. Amen. And we are in safe hands, isn't it? Someone say another testimony. You know, in the same Mark chapter 16, the verse 17, after the verse 15 talks about the Great Commission, the verse 17 talks about these signs following you, isn't it? It says, in my name you cast out demons and all that. Today we are going to hear one of the signs that will follow you as you preach the gospel. So this is healing of prostrate enlargement. Hey, from the anointing oil and mantle prayed over by Bishop Sam. Oh, church, let's clap our hands. Woo! So this testimony is from one of our pastors in the Volta region. Bishop went to have a convention there, and a member of this pastor's church received a miracle. So it goes like this. Dear Bishop, the mantle and anointing oil are doing wonders. Before you came for the Proton Convention in Ho, one of my church members told me his father was having prostate enlargement. So they were sending him to some specialist coming from Germany for the surgery at Joje Hospital. They were supposed to go for the surgery the morning after the convention. So I told my church member to do some two things. So he said the bishop prayed over anointing oil and also prayed over their mantles. The pastor told him, pour the anointing oil in front of the father's door so that he will walk through it in the morning before the surgery. The second thing was that give the mantle to your father as a gift to keep on him before the surgery. She did all I asked, and they went to the hospital in the morning. At the hospital, they checked and prepared the man for surgery. Just before the surgery, the doctors decided to check again. And to their surprise, the whole enlargement they had seen earlier had miraculously disappeared. Hey! Okay. Me, I am an art student. And I agree that some of these things I don't really understand. But we have a medical doctor here. And let's welcome him to explain to us briefly what prostate enlargement is. I don't know whether the prostate is... Oh, let's welcome Dr. Foley. So this is Dr. Foley Ashiago. He's a medical doctor at the Kwalebu Teaching Hospital. It's powerful, isn't it? Doctor, please, where is the prostate? And what is prostate enlargement?
Hello? Well, prostate gland is one of the glands around the male genitalia.
Hey,
its main function.
Where is it?
Around the penis and the scrotum.
Someone say, Iye.
So it usually produces a secretion that helps to nourish the semen.
Then it's an important part.
And it can enlarge. One of the things it does is when it enlarges, it prevents you from passing urine freely. And the enlargement could be cancerous or non-cancerous.
It can be cancerous.
Or non-cancerous.
Wow.
And it can also lead to difficult conditions such as acute retention of urine. So a man who has prostate enlargement will come to the hospital with inability to pass urine. And in severe pain, as if a woman who is in second stage of labor.
So we'll
have to pass catheter or a tube through the penis to help him to pass urine.
The person to pass urine.
Yes.
Wow.
So I'm sure this man certainly has catheter. That is why he was advised to
so
go for.
So the person will be wearing catheter throughout.
So he has to wear catheter as long as the enlargement is there.
It's there. Wow.
Yes.
Wow. And how much can such a surgery cost?
Well, it depends on where the surgery is being done.
Okay.
If it is being done in US, you're likely to pay between $10,000 to $20,000.
$10,000 to $20,000.
In Ghana, depending on where it's done and whether it's done by endoscopic procedure or open surgery, you may be paying between 4,000 to 10,000 Ghana cedis.
Wow, 4,000 to 10,000 Ghana cedis.
Yes.
So as a medical doctor, do you believe that this is a miracle?
I believe in miracles.
Oh, let's appreciate the Lord. Hey! 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 Hallelujah. Oh, let's laugh for Dr. Foley. So she said, when they got to the, they checked and checked and checked and nothing was there. To the glory of God, they returned to home without a blade touching the 70-year-old man. Oh, church, let's appreciate God. Wow. Wow. Only Jesus can do this, isn't it? Pastor says, for me as this church member's pastor, I was just praying for the surgery to be successful so that this 70-year-old man will return safe and sound. But God had something better to offer. Hallelujah. I said, God has something better for you in the name of Jesus. So he says, Bishop, God bless you and anoint you more for us. Thank you for coming to home. Oh, church, let's appreciate God. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So today I want to encourage you. Let us go with the greatest commission. And as we go with the greatest commission of preaching the gospel, we would have testimonies upon testimonies. These signs shall follow us. God bless you. We have an anointed pastor. Let us believe in him. Let us flow with him. And miracles become part of our lives daily. God bless you.
Hallelujah. We are about to hear a very powerful voice. A very special voice. The voice of the anointed. This voice carries the power to bring to life every dead situation in your life. This voice carries the anointing to change your situation. Hallelujah. This is no other voice, but the voice of our Father, our pastor, our prophet, our evangelist, our teacher. Let's put our hands together and make a joyful noise. But before that, you hear a song ministration from the Fresh Oil. And the next voice you hear is the voice of Bishop Sam.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? Told the ocean you can only come this far, and show the moon where to hide to leave me, and whose words alone can catch a falling star. Who told the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who saw the moon where to hide till evening? And whose words alone can catch a falling star? And I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation I
Thank you, Father, for this afternoon. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you that today we are marking the day you rose from the dead, when death could not hold you captive, when the last enemy was defeated. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to come into your presence. We know we are not living here the same as we came. You know each and every one of us standing here by name. You know us by name. You know our needs. You know our problems. May no one live here the same as he or she came here today. Lord, release blessings with everyone's name on it today. Blessings that will come direct and straight to your children. Spiritual blessings, physical blessings, financial blessings, health blessings, every form of blessing, oh God, that your children are believing you for, and that you know that your children need. Bless us with this, oh Lord. And we thank you that you have come today because of us. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Well, I want to wish you happy Resurrection Sunday. It only shows that there is nothing God cannot do in your life. Nothing that is in your life can be said that it is dead or it is finished. Never give up on anything. As long as you have life, and as long as you have Christ, never give up on anything. Because he has shown us that no matter how bad it is, he is able to bring life back into it. He is able to bring life back into it. And I see life coming back into your situation. You have given up, but life is still coming back. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This one, he said that I will lay my life down. It means I will allow you to kill me, and then I will bring it back again to life. This one is powerful. What else can he not do? You think about your problem now. Think about it deeply. And ask, what else can he not do? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So today is a powerful day. A day worthy of celebration. Amen.
Amen.
My message for this Good Friday, which is a very important message for every Christian, it's very simple. It's very simple. And I have titled the message, Heaven on My Mind. Heaven on my mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have, as a Christian, to understand why you are born again. The purpose of Christ coming to die for us was for us to be saved. And our salvation should end in our eternal life with Christ. So if you don't have that at the back of your mind or in your mind, you will miss it. That is why Paul prayed a prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17
and 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18.
He said, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, of him. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling.
See,
Paul wanted them to know why we are born again. He wanted them to know the hope of their calling. And these days, so many Christians don't know the hope of their calling. For many of us, the hope of our calling is a wife. The hope of our calling is a visa. The hope of our calling is a car. But it is not it. It is far, far, far more than a car or visa or a wife. Or even a wife or a child. That is why you realize that those who know the hope of their calling, nothing is able to take them away from Christ. Lack cannot take them from Christ. Not having money cannot take them out of Christ. But for many Christians, a lot of things can take us out of Christ. Because we said that since we came to Jesus, nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. I've not had my breakthrough. I've not had my car. I've not had my child. I've not had my house. So I'm leaving. It means you don't know the hope of your calling. The hope of your calling is far more than a car or a wife or a child. The reason we are here is far more than proclamation that you are going to get a car or a wife. It is about we being saved and spending eternity in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the resurrection Sunday, or resurrection, is one of the greatest things to give us that hope.
Now, yes, we're sorry, and no, my sir.
It's one of the things that makes us to know that this hope is great and is true.
Dr. Simon Greenleaf
is one of the legal minds in the history of America. He was a famous royal professor of law at Harvard University Law School.
Not a professor at Harvard University.
He wrote a 3 volumes on the law of legal evidence. Which were used to evaluate evidence in the court of law to see if it is credible. He was a skeptic, not a believer, and he used to mock and put down the Christians in his law classes at Harvard. Some Christians in the law class got tired of his mockery. So they challenged him to take his 3 volumes of laws of legal evidence and apply his expertise and these principles to the evidence for the resurrection of Christ. Side by side.
Okay. The books, we have
principles are correct, na. He started to apply his principles of evaluating evidence to the resurrection. In the process, he became a believer. He went on to write a very large book on testimony, The 4 Evangelists, according to the laws of legal evidence administered in the court of justice. And this great legal mind concluded that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the best established facts of history, according to the laws of legal evidence administered in the court of justice.
na dance bi emu no de tro ehun ma foforo na emu no de tro ni nyina e ka say yesu wo sorry e no eye ade a eye no kware.
It means that if you take it to court, the evidence to court, you can prove. The fact that Jesus died and resurrected.
Say Jesus Christ, oh, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we serve a living God. Dr. Paul Meyer is the professor of ancient history of Western Michigan University in the state of Michigan.
Dr. Paul is also at Michigan University.
He has done a number of historic novels about Pilate, about Jesus, about the resurrection and the first Christmas. He made this observation. If all the evidence is weighed carefully and fairly, it is indeed justifiable according to the canons of historical research to conclude that the tomb in which Jesus was buried was actually empty on the third day.
Na oka se sa o dwen sa Yesu wo sori yi nyina ho pa. Wo be hu se sa emusiye no emusiye na eda ho na Yesu enim eno kire se ampa Yesu wo ye no sori biom.
I mean, if you took it to court and you really go into, you will see that indeed the tomb
now the court so obu hu say ampa
was actually empty on the third day. So we don't need to be confused. Timothy Keller, he said, if Jesus rose from the dead, then we have to accept all that he said. If he rose from the dead, that's why I read the first two, to know that even if you took it to a court of law, with all the laws of legal evidence and how to evaluate, when you go to court, they will tell that the truth is not the defense.
It's the
evidence that you have to bring.
So we prove there.
That is the defense, not the truth. And so when you take everything with the truth together and you took this thing to court, it will still pass that Jesus' death and resurrection is a historical fact.
Now the court say yes, we are sorry.
And so Keller is saying that if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said.
Now Keller no say yes, I'm sorry for you, and they say engineer can't in antum.
If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about what he said?
Now say one sorry be and
the issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead.
And yes, sir, open us no kaya na open us no kaya de here. Ne mum ne here ne say or sorry and now I'm sorry.
Very important too. I mean, the issue on which everything has is not whether or not you like his teaching.
And yes, sir, open yes,
but whether or not he rose from the dead.
So Bisa say, oh, yeah, sorry,
and now it is clear. It's so clear that he rose from the dead. That is the issue. Because of that, you need to understand that everything else he said is true. And believe it. The resurrection is so important. Two great apostles of Jesus based all their hopes and everything on the resurrection of Jesus.
Yes, apostle,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Everything Christ taught, lived, and died for is upon the resurrection.
1 Peter 1:3.
He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15,
now come 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
The scripture about the resurrection, the chapter of the resurrection, very important. And Christian, I want to today bring to your attention that you should not live without heaven on your mind. That is the ultimate. That is the end of our salvation. At the end of the day, if you run a race and you don't finish the race, you are the fastest runner, running 100 meters.
100 meters.
But just when you go to 90.99.0 or 0.1 meters, you fall. And you are not able to press the tape,
you
will still not get any prize. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now the ultimate of our Christianity is about going to heaven. And that is what the resurrection of Christ teaches us. That heaven really and truly exists.
1 Corinthians 15 verse 12.
Following. Now if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Which means that in the days of Paul, some people were saying that there is no resurrection of the dead. Which means that it is not only in our time, but just after, right after Jesus had died and has resurrected, and people who were around heard of it, they still disputed that Jesus resurrected from the dead.
And yet, Nansen Kwan and Kofo Ekasa, Paul Mutam, no more Kasse, Obi and Obewasa, sorry, Bium.
They disputed
no more Dihu
that Jesus, they said there's no resurrection of the dead.
Almost Obi and Obewasa, sorry, Bium.
What a shock!
What a shock.
And then he continues by saying, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. And then our faith too is in vain. There's nothing to base our faith and our preaching on. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, there's nothing we could stand on. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. Because all that we are saying is based on the fact that it came from God. And Jesus says that he is the only one who has come from God. He has come to tell us so many things. And then he said, the reason why you should believe what I'm saying is that I will die, and on the third day, I'll rise again from the dead.
Yesu Christo ba en obekan semuche ono frinya mi wase. Ono pen no wetimi akwa osroi mima wasa basasis. No ba en obekatre yese. Owa obesan sorry bium.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yesu Christo ketre yese. Na semuno e yenokre bi. Se ne bebe use yenokre ni se. Obe wu na wasori bium.
Jesus came to tell us that his word is true. And the truth of his word is that when he dies, he will resurrect again.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And we are still in our sins. All these sins that nature is saying that God has forgiven him. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, then we are still in our sins. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then he says that then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If those who are they've also died foolish death. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are all men most to be pitied. If in this life alone we say we have hoped in Christ, then we are very miserable. This is a very powerful scripture. What is trying to say that, see, many of us shouldn't be miserable as we are. And we have accepted to be miserable because we think and we hope that there's the resurrection of the dead. Because for somebody like you, a young, nice girl, you shouldn't be going through what you are going through. If Christ didn't resurrect from the dead, you just need to shake your buttocks a little bit to somebody with money and you get the money. One of our girls, she wanted a job, and then she would have gotten the job, powerful job. But then the boss said that before I give you the job, I want to drink milk. So one day she was serving the boss, and the boss said, "Give me milk. Put milk in the tea." So she went to take ideal milk from the fridge. The boss said, no, this is what I'm talking about. And she went for carnation. I said, no, this is what I'm talking about. So she was surprised. She was looking around to see if there's any other milk around. Then the boss pointed to her breast. I need this milk. Hey! And so she was wondering whether there was some milk somewhere. So she was trying to say, no, this one. Then the girl came to me in the chair and said, "Can I believe what the boss said? My boss says he needs milk. Direct from source. And he has promised me a job. What should I do?" She wasn't confused anyway. And I told her that, well, he wants to give you a job, and he said, "Give him milk to drink. If you give him the milk, he will get a job. It will come with a car. They will give you a house. Wonderful. But if you don't give the milk to him, you will not get a job. And I cannot also assure you of a job. So what are you going to do?" And she said that, "I won't give him the milk." And so she didn't get a job. I have lived with this girl for some time. I have seen her struggling for job. We are prepared to look for job.
Yes, really, she's really struggling.
And she's still struggling for a job. She finished university with the first class. And still, she's not getting the job. The opportunity she had to have gotten the job, she said, "No,
Now,
if only in this life, this girl was waiting for anything, that she's going to get anything, then I'll pity her. Because some of our mates are driving cars, traveling up and down, doing all those. But as at now, she has none of this. So that's why Paul is saying, if, you see, Paul is letting us know as Christians that look, many of that, even Jesus said that for the poor you always have with you.
Yes,
many Christians are going to be miserable in this life. And there are so many things we can do to make money. Oh, what? Fine girls. We get some in the church. One day, if somebody came to park a very nice car in front in the church. Nice car. I said, wow, this car is nice. Then after service, the person who bought the car for her, who doesn't come to church, came to look for her.
And
warned her not to come to the church again. Otherwise, you collect the car. And she didn't come again.
No ambassador in Ibio.
Hey! And some of you girls, you are in church because nobody has given you a certain offer. You have not seen all the offers they give to you as the kebab and this type of
kebab,
the ones they sell here.
Sobolo.
Meat pie and sobolo.
Sobolo
it's easy to overcome sobolo and kebab. But if somebody has come to promise you that every week or every month he can take you to Dubai for holidays and come. And give you his ATM when you go, unlimited access, no, just to draw anything you want. I tell you, some of you ladies in this church, you will not come to church again. That's why God is so merciful that he has not tempted you beyond your limit. If he had given you a certain kind of unsorry, you will not be able to survive. Amen. So if only, some of you don't have children. All that you needed to do to go to another man and say, sleep with me secretly, I'll get my child and go. Because some have done it before. We heard it on the news recently.
Yeah,
but I'm going to do it. But because of Christ. Now what Paul is saying is that if indeed Christ did not resurrect from the dead, then all these sacrifices you have been making, brothers, because of Christ, you are keeping to only one wife. Which is a miracle. Which is very wild miracle. Because, as someone has said, it is only the Christian human being who is expected to stick to only one wife. But in the animal kingdom, of which we are one, no animal sticks to only one woman. Because it's a very wild thing. One man, one wife. It is a miracle. It is only by Christ. So Paul is saying that if only by this we have all deceived ourselves, then we should have taken four, we should have taken five, we should have taken six,
12.
Amen. I beg what I'm saying, is it not true? If only, But because of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says. Verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruit of all those who have fallen asleep. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I want you to know that our faith is not in vain. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our faith is not in vain. We have believed something that is true. Hallelujah. Our faith is not in vain. Galatians 2:20 says that the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. So our Christ that resurrected again, so our faith is not in vain. People will laugh at you, they will mock at you. But it is not in vain. They will say, Are you also with these guys? Do you also believe in these things? Beloved, it is not in vain. You should continue believing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Again, because Christ is risen from the dead, our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. All the sins nature spoke about. All the sins you have committed are better. Because Christ was raised again from the dead. You can be sure that your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15:3 says that I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures say. I
said,
I passed on to what was most important and what has been given to us. Hallelujah. That Christ died for our sins. Hallelujah. The only thing that can prevent man from going to heaven is sin. And then Christ has died for our sins. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you believe, it means that all your sins are washed away. You are no longer a sinner. It's a good place to put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if Christ was raised from the dead, it means that those who died in Christ did not die a foolish death. And if you die in Christ, you will not die a foolish death. Recently, one of our young first lovers in London went on missions to Zambia.
Nancy, first love church in our London. Nipa bakufimuko missions.
And then he died at the age of 25.
Na owu ye no edi 25.
He had married. He had been married for just a few months.
Owari ye nche.
He had actively spent only 3 months with his wife.
On any rate now for bosumi miensa.
And he is dead.
And call mission away.
This death is not in vain. Hallelujah. This death is not in vain. He has died a great death. He has died with crowns in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If Christ was raised from the dead,
say yes, sorry for your woman.
Finally, it means that there is a heaven and there is earth. He came to show us that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And one of the greatest stories Christ ever told us was the story of the rich man and Lazarus.
Then
if Christ died, you know, this story is also true. If he died and resurrected, means this story is also true. And what was the story? That the rich man died and the poor man died. And then the rich man went to hell and the poor man went to heaven. Which means there is a heaven and there is a hell. And believer, never ever forget about this thing. You know, sometimes in the midst of all the things we are doing, you can easily forget. You are building a church building. You are doing so many things. You can easily forget that this is the real reason why you were saved. That there is a heaven and there is a hell. One of the reasons why you always go to God for forgiveness of sins is because you don't want to miss heaven or hell. Hallelujah.
Heaven.
And so we have to have it on our minds. Not many Christians have hell on their minds. You see, let me show you something. As a man, you are a spirit. You are a spirit. And spirits don't die. You know, one day, you put down your body. One day you put down your body, but you will live. One day you put down your body, but you will live. Now when you are living in that day, those days, you will feel everything you feel.
You
feel the same way. The story that Jesus told, he said that the rich man was thirsty. And the rich man was in torment. The rich man was hot. He could feel it. Listen, you will also feel it. I'm not sure you are feeling hot this afternoon. Now, what you are feeling is nothing compared to the heat you will feel when you go to hell. And how many of you know that in about 2 hours time we will live here?
To
air-conditioned car. Air-conditioned homes. And so on and so forth. And how many of you know that if you feel very, very hot, you can get up and go and stand outside? And then how many of you feel that you can drink water if you feel very hot? And then you can even fan yourself like you are fanning yourself. Yeah. But in hell, you cannot get out after 2 hours. You cannot fan yourself. You know, one day I was in Tamale some time ago, many years ago, and the weather was so hot, and then I put on the ceiling fan. I realized that the ceiling fan was making the heat even more unbearable. Because it was rather making the, I don't know what was happening, but it was intense, circulating the heat. There was no cool air anywhere to come. That's how hell is going to be like. So there is a heaven and there's a hell. And then that is forever. That's forever. You cannot leave it. Yeah. You cannot buy this fire service thing, what they wear, that heat insulated. Listen, you cannot buy any, say, oh, this one, I'm going to. No, you can't. There are so many jokes about hell. People said, oh, some Nigerians went to hell and they were able to manufacture air conditioners. All manner of jokes. But I want you to know it's not true. Where you are going to live together to forever in your life is actually heaven or hell.
Yeah.
It's actually heaven and hell. That's why this Resurrection Sunday, I'm letting you know that your faith must be strong in the fact that there's life after death. Nothing should let you see, no matter what you get or what you don't get. Because it's almost like the Christianity is like, what I can get, what I don't get. If I don't get this, I will go to this place. It's almost like that. But that is not it, all. That is not it at all. So everything Jesus has said, you should believe it. Is that not so? So let's turn to two more scriptures and we'll go. John 14, 1 and 3.
John 14.
Are you being blessed?
Yeah.
I want you to have heaven in mind. Many of us, we think we are very young. So we are not thinking about heaven now. I don't want to say what I want to say. But prepare for heaven. When you stand under a mango tree, you see green leaves and brown leaves. John 14, 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you.
I say, men mo akuma en haupi, uji nyamidi, jimisudi, esanse meje fie no, me wandain de breo ho, ankente sa, ankamen kanjre ho sa, na umu meko, na mako siye se bibi pebi ama.
If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for 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 you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also.
Wow.
I go to prepare a place for you. You see, as we are here today, Jesus is preparing a place for you. Preparing it, and depending on what you do, it will show the place you will live.
Because
there are many mansions, all types of mansions. You may not be living in Papo, you may not live in Trasaco here on earth, but in heaven, you may be living in another place. One woman had a dream, and when she had a vision or dream, she was taken to heaven, and she met Peter and some of the wilder guys. They met him, and they were taking him to her mansion. And as they were taking him to heaven, she saw so many beautiful houses. Beautiful. Look, no architect whatsoever can design what God is designing for you in heaven. She saw wonderful buildings. But they took her to a place and opened the door. When they opened the door, it was a large dormitory. Oh. Dormitory. Also, it's like big or bunk beds. So many people were there.
She said, school for dormitory.
So she asked, why have you brought me to this dormitory?
No, besides, I said, then I wouldn't have asked school for dormitory.
Then she was so, well, your works you did on earth.
And I'm catching and say, where do my oya was see so?
This is what it could build for you.
When it me see ma.
Hey!
Hey!
Jewoma.
Be wo.
ne wo shira fe fe na de bi ye be wo Jesus oh ye wo ma bi wo ho ne mo shira fe fe na de bi ye be wo Jesus oh obey ye na rebo ni ye ni so obey ye na rebo ni na ra oh ye woma mi wo ni mo si re fe na debi ye be
going to bury people. But these are the songs that we should sing to encourage ourselves about our faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The woman was shown a dormitory.
It's how Mommy had Nichols school for a dormitory.
And then she just opposite the dormitory was a very beautiful mansion.
Now dormitory be any
and then she asked, whose house is this?
No, he says
whose house is this? Do you know whose house that was?
No, he says
they said that this house is where your maid servant is living. Wow. He said, my maid is. Look, go and call her to come and sleep here. I'm going to sleep there.
I said, me ma kwa na wo fie no. Mani met na school for dormitory no mo.
So she asked, why?
No, because I said, didn't ya?
She said, well, whilst you were on earth, you did not plan. You didn't have a plan. You planned for social security. You planned for educational fund. You planned for even how you'll be buried. You planned how where they should bury you. You plan your funeral, they put to come and toss you. You plan, but you didn't plan for where you will live in heaven. So when you had opportunities even to do something in church, you didn't do anything. You were planning for other things. One day somebody had a dream. My classmate, who is also born again, had a dream and said she went to heaven. And when they were going to heaven, she saw, they were on a bus like tourists. They saw so many places, they were showing that this is the person's house. This is where Peter lives. This is where this person lives. This is where this person lives.
Of course, I'm not a bus. Near church and I had to wait.
Then she saw a beautiful house.
No, we died for fair baby.
On a hill.
Now our people be so.
And she asked, whose house is this?
No, besides, I said, why dying here?
Then he said, this house is for Ishmael's son.
My
own mate, Regina, you know
Bishop Ishmael Sambie.
My own mate, in Kumasi.
In
fact, that was the best dream somebody has told me. He said, I was told that this is your house. She said she saw a sports car parked there.
Or so, whose sports car?
Yeah, who point, you know, where would I be per speed?
And
she saw a sports car. And I said, wow.
I
may not be living in Trasako now. But she had seen my. And you see, to me. And she said that then the bus kept going. And then she was asking, so where is her house? They passed all the nice houses. They were going to the cottages. And they were going towards the Zongo. So she kept asking, so where is my house? And where they were not answering, they were still taking her. And she came out of the dream. She decided to do more for Christ after that time. She decided to do more for Christ at that time. Oh Lord, may this house be renovated in the name of Jesus.
Oh, Erade.
Amen. So me, I believe. Oh. Me, somebody has seen. And me, I believe. Whatever she saw, I believe. So, there is a house waiting for you in heaven. And the heaven is real.
It's
real. So what do? We need to prepare for heaven. Hallelujah. We need to prepare for heaven. Dear friend, there are different kinds of mansions in heaven.
And we need to prepare.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Finally, Matthew chapter 6. The woman was surprised. She didn't prepare. She said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up treasures for yourself in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. All that is trying to say, prepare for heaven. Prepare for your mansions in heaven. And if you have it in mind, you prepare for it. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will also be. So what you invest in, I tell many of us here probably have invested in education for our children, is that also? Because your heart is in the education of your children. Some of you are preparing for the marriage, the wedding you are going to have, because you want to, your heart is in the marriage. It is, he didn't say don't do that, but say this place, it is temporary. Many things can affect it. But there is a place you can lay treasure, you can prepare. Nothing can spoil anything there. So this Resurrection Sunday, Christian brother, Christian sister, I don't want it to be part of the thing that we are celebrating Easter. I want to remind you about the reason why Jesus died and rose again. To remove the thing that can stop you from going to heaven, which is sin. And for you to know that there is a heaven and there is a hell. Never lose heaven. Because hell is not a good place to be in.
And
they are mansions. And you can prepare for heaven. You can prepare for heaven. You can prepare for a mansion. If you want to build a house, depending on how much you have. Even where to buy the land. Depend on how much money you have. It all goes into the house you build, where you live and everything. And also, heaven too, Bible said that you can lay up treasures and prepare. You can prepare for where you will stay. You can prepare for the type of chairs you want to see in your room. In heaven. By laying up treasures in heaven. Because if you say don't lay up treasures for yourself on earth, it means that you can lay treasures here on earth. But say lay treasures for yourself in heaven. But lay up treasure for yourself in heaven. What are the things we use to lay up treasure for ourselves in heaven? I told you by the end of March, every one of you should have one soul established in church. You thought I have forgotten. But have you? How many of you have? Look around. Only a few. He says that lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. You see, don't just go to heaven. No. But of course, don't go to hell. It's better you enter. I mean, even if it's Zungu. You try and enter into Zungu, don't worry. But I'm just saying that now, don't just go to heaven. Go to heaven in style. When they meet you, and the protocol is taking you to your room. You see, honestly, you know, there are so many things we don't understand. Is that not so? The mere fact that we don't understand does not change anything.
Look,
some few years ago, if you went to say that the earth was flat, it would be considered as blasphemy. And heresy. And they will kill you. But you see, all those that they were killing, but the earth was still round. You know that it was still round. But God didn't bother to give anybody a revelation about it till they found out. So many things are there. Honestly, I don't understand when we go to heaven, mansions, how would heaven be that there'll be mansions, there'll be different kinds of houses, and even some have seen cars in heaven before, some have seen other things in heaven. How is heaven going to be like?
Kim,
you see, just as there is Pluto, there's all this, we don't understand, and we don't see. Heaven to there's something there. That will make you know that this person is living here and I'm living here, and somehow I'm sure you feel that this person's house is nicer than my house. And there are crowns too. Why would there be crowns? Why would there be prizes? There's something about heaven. So, beloved, let us prepare well. Tell your friend, let us prepare well. Shake your friend, say, let's prepare well. Let's do things to secure our mansion in heaven.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So souls, winning souls, would touch the heart of God. So all along that we are telling you, put your hands together for Jesus. So all along that we are telling you, win souls, win souls, win souls. Don't take it for granted,
those.
You go to heaven and they say you are sharing a room with four more people and you'll be surprised. They put in a boarding house. I'm not the one saying, just that there are many mansions.
Bible say. And
I'm preparing a place for you. What you do today will determine what the house that they will build for you. I'm even praying that my house that they saw, now there will be some additions to it. There must be some jacuzzis and some additions. I don't know, but it looks as if spirits may need jacuzzis to bath. Actually, what surprised me was the sports car. So what are cars going to do in heaven? But it looks like there will be cars in heaven. Don't go and say that pastor says there will be cars in heaven. I'm saying, I don't know, but it looks like. Whether there are cars, whether they are this, I just want to go to heaven. And I want to go and be, if there ever there is a higher place in heaven, I want to go and go there. There are chariots, you know, there are chariots in heaven. Hey. The street is made of gold.
Bible says, "Sikakoko no mo di aye formu."
Street with your sports car on a street of gold, no speed limits.
Sports car, that's to say.
I really like that one. No speed limit on the street of gold.
No speed limit. Ube ti miya kosi di aube kubia.
Hey. And then there's no marriage.
Ena awaria su niho.
There's nothing. I have to go home a little bit and cook for my husband.
Hey,
actually, there's nothing. I have to go home and cook my husband. No, 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 No. They said, what can I do to make Jake happy? No. Everybody will be relaxing. But I have a feeling that if you're in the Zongo, you relax, but I don't know. I mean, there definitely must be something. I don't know what it is, but
it must be something.
You see, how many of you want to go to heaven and go to the Trasako? You see, in Ghana, we can only use Trasako.
Oh,
Cantonment. But when you go to other places, you realize Trasako is like a village.
Trasako
is like a village. I went to a certain place. The whole place, they have some kind of vapor in the whole type of area to make sure that depending on the atmosphere, could they want all of them to have a certain kind of weather or something in the area. I said, wow, what a place. Charlie, tell your friend, I want to go to heaven. Me, this type of things you have been doing around me, I want to go to proper heaven. Tell your friend that this type of things that you are doing to me that I can't even serve God well. Charlie, me, I want to go to heaven. And Charlie, me, this church I've come to is not just dancing and this, so it's about heaven. And when I go to heaven, I want to stay in a proper place. I want to stay in a proper place. Wow, I just heard a voice. Say, Ishmael, say it.
Say it.
I want to go to heaven. And I want to stay in a proper place. Some of you, when you go home, where you sleep is so small. You and your 10 brothers are all living in the same room. But you are going to overheat him. You are going to go and sleep in a place, and when you open the door, the sides. I don't know, but I think there is something about heaven. Oh, God, you can't go and come too. I said, God should send Jake and go and see the encampment, but you can't go and come. Hey. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? No, it's powerful. It's powerful. Don't wait till you are old before God. You should think over. It's a nicer place. Brother, that's what the guy says, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have Jesus.
And to take you to heaven.
Look, me, when I come to church, I only pray that God let them understand what they believe, though. I'm not interested, of course, it's my heart, but I'm not interested in giving people money. I'm only interested in people understanding why they are born again. People are suffering more than you. But because of Christ, they are there. Another way to lay up treasure for yourself is to support the work of God. God has a building on earth. You see, I am building my church. If you support the work of God, God will also invest in your building. God will invest in your building. So today, as I brought heaven to you, which is very real. Honestly, every Christian should be able to say with Paul that to die is gain. But look at me. If I say you are going to die today, you do something on yourself. Yeah. One day I was told I was going to die.
Maybe we catch them, say maybe.
Within 4 years.
4 years.
I tossed in bed from one end to the other. It was easy for me. But another day too, I was sleeping on my bed. And then I saw that I've left my body. The reason I saw is that I saw that I was lying there. Then I saw that my wife was also lying by me. But surprisingly, I was smiling as I was going. Then I was looking at my wife, and then I was smiling. She couldn't see what I was smiling. I was just thinking as I was going. I was so happy, and I was just thinking, oh, so somebody should. I don't know what I was saying, whether somebody should marry you or something, but I was just. I was just happily going. And I realized that death can be very sweet. Honestly, if you die in the Lord, per the experience I had, I think it's a sweet thing. It was so nice that I could feel myself smiling and laughing. And as we tease ourselves a lot, so I don't know whether I was teasing her or something, but I think I was going. And I was teasing her, and I could see my body there. Look, you should be able to say with Paul as a Christian that to die is gain. Sometimes for fine protocol and everything, when I hear a Christian has died, I always say in my heart that praise God. But for nice people, somebody's daughter is crying, you go and say praise God, you keep quiet. But in my heart, say, wow, the man is fortunate. You don't know, maybe one day be. You just that day you told a lie, no, boom, then your heart stopped beating. Say, Lord, please empower me. I know some guy, he took a lady to a hotel, told the wife she was going for a funeral in Ebri. He branched with another girl to a hotel.
No, or the Obabiko hotel.
Whilst they were doing the thing,
Michael.
Just when the orgasmic period started. Boop, 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 boop. It ended with his heart failing. Boop. So he died in the process. Can you believe it? The man has served God, has done everything.
That
day alone his temptation came. And they were in the hotel. His wife was even waiting for him. And as he was blowing, then hey, what are you going to tell God? No chance to say anything. And he says he coming like a thief in the night.
It looks like this thing is becoming very scary.
And somebody says, last days are dangerous. It's a call, last days are dangerous. So what I'm saying is that none of us, I don't know why I came back to this, but none of us should miss heaven. But God is building a church. When you invest in it, you're also investing in your mansion in heaven. You are laying up treasures in heaven. Father, thank you that this Resurrection Sunday, you have done powerful things in the lives of your children in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we take our communion, but this is the communion, this is the body that Christ was broken for us, the body that resurrected, and the blood that was shed for us. How many of you are at the Independence Square? Wonderful. Every blessing our Father prayed over the wine and the body during the Easter Friday, Good Friday, may the same happen to us. As we take this communion, may you receive energized bodies, spiritual deliverances in the name of Jesus. His body, the body of Jesus. He prayed and made proclamations over the blood. Everything he said about the blood and the blessing of the blood. Somebody have been having headaches, unusual headaches for some time. You are receiving your healing. But anything that is not of God, spiritual, physical, social, that has come against you by this blood, may you be delivered. And may this blood mark you for a blessing. Mark you. When the angels are hovering around blessings, may they never pass over you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. May every evil that come around you pass over you. May no good thing pass over you. In Jesus' name. His blood. The blood of Jesus. As you listen to me preach, maybe God spoke to your heart that you need to give your life to Jesus. You felt the love of God around you. You felt the love of God around you. And you know that God wants to come into your life. Come into your life to help you and to make you to be the person whom you have been destined to become. You know it. You felt it in your heart and you want to say, Pastor, please pray for me. I need God. I need God to forgive me of my sins. And I need God to be the Lord of my life. And I have to be born again. You are not sure that you go to heaven or hell when you die. You want to say, Pastor, pray for me. Deep down in my heart, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. So, Pastor, please pray for me. I want you to say this with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I thank you for today.
I thank you for today.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart
that Jesus Christ,
that Jesus Christ
is the Son of God.
Is the Son of God.
He came to die.
He came to die
for my sins.
For my sins.
I confess.
I confess
that I'm a sinner.
That I'm a sinner.
And I ask you, Lord Jesus,
I ask you, Lord Jesus,
to forgive me
of all my sins.
From today,
I declare.
With my mouth.
With my mouth.
That Jesus.
That Jesus.
That Jesus.
Is Lord.
Is Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord
for
Jesus.
Accepting me.
For accepting
just
me.
As I am.
Just as I am.
And making me your child.
And making me your child.
From today.
From today.
I am yours.
I am yours.
And you are mine.
And you are mine.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you for listening to Active Word with Bishop Ishmael Sam. For copies of today's message or any other message by Bishop Sam, please contact us on 0277-533-108 or visit us at Loyalty House International, Abay, Dawenia. You can also send Bishop Sam an email at pastorishmael@yahoo.com. For prayer and counseling, you can contact us on 0277-533-108. You can also worship with us every Sunday in our powerful gathering service at 10 a.m. at the Loyalty House International, Abay, Dawenia. God bless you. Active Word.